afternoon and welcome. At this time tomorrow, the vote will be underway and we won't be allowed to talk about the election. So, with one day to go, this is the final countdown.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown.
Okay. We've had fun with our musical moment there, and I hope nobody is calling to complain about that music. Now let's get down to the important questions, because there are a lot of people who won't be making their minds up until they get into the voting booth. Since yesterday, we have seen more details on the lawsuit launched by Renata Ford, Rob Ford's widow, against Doug Ford, the PC leader. So the question is, will it make a difference at this late stage? Will it hurt his numbers? Will it even deprive him of power or of a majority? There are also people who are annoyed with Andrea Horvath, and they say she hit a low point by making an issue of what is in essence a family matter. So we want to hear from you, your take on it. The number is 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And a few weeks ago, we told you about Polly, the artificial intelligence computer that has successfully predicted the outcome of other races. On our panel today, Aaron Kelly, president and CEO of Advanced Symbolics. And Aaron, is it okay to refer to you as Polly's mom?
Sure.
Okay. Also joining us, Jerry Nichols, political strategist and communications consultant, Ryan Guptill from Navigator. Thank you, all of you, for joining us. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Let us start with Aaron. So I gather Polly has made a prediction.
Well, Polly, you know, we do want to see for today if there's any more fallout from the Doug Ford lawsuit, the Ford family lawsuit. So far, what we saw was yesterday, lots and lots of people talking about it, certainly very negatively. But what we saw this morning is it has not affected the PC standings. They're still looking at a majority government. So while people might be upset about the lawsuit and discussing it, we're certainly not seeing that it's changing any minds.
Okay. Can you just tell us in lay terms how you separate that out, that people are talking about it and that it's a negative, but it's not changing anything?
Sure. We saw yesterday that of the people discussing the election, and there's about 2 million people in Ontario that we've got discussing the election, over 70% were talking about this issue yesterday. Actually, sorry, 35% were talking about the issue yesterday.
Wow.
And of those, a good 70% were very negative about it, and 21% were defending Mr. Ford in this case. So while people were largely either being neutral or negative, we have not seen that translate into a change of seat count.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Jerry Nichols, what's your take on it?
Well, first of all, Libby, usually when I talk about polling numbers, it's because I'm talking to a chain-smoking, alcohol-drinking, grizzled old pollster.
Yes.
I've never heard of a robot, talking about poll numbers, which is, great for the advancement of science. And in this case, I would agree with the robot. The timing of this was terrible for Ford, because a few days before the election, this is when people are actually paying attention. Most of the times, they're not. And it's just before they go to vote, they start saying, hey, there's an election on. I better start watching the news. So the timing was terrible. What made it even worse is this wasn't another party attacking him. This was his own family. So that adds another wrinkle to it. But my sense is, and this is where I would agree with the robot, my sense is that people have already discounted all the baggage that Doug Ford has. They're basically saying, yeah, we know what he's like, we know all the problems he has, but we still like him anyway because he's different, he's changed. So I think he might be immune to this kind of attack. We'll see.
Okay, and Ryan Guptill, what's your take?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the negative commentary was coming from people who had already decided that they weren't in favor of Doug Ford. It reinforces their views. But for those people who had decided that they support Doug Ford, I think that this just is seen as a last-minute attack on him, and it's just not going to have the effect that Ms. Ford, who sued him, wanted it to have in the last week. I think it may have actually entrenched some conservative support when people feel sorry for him.
Well,
actually, if I could just jump in there,
please.
We did separate out the people who were being negative and whether or not they were Ford supporters, and 30% of them were Ford supporters, so they were disappointed to see this. They were quite negative about it, so it wasn't just NDP or Liberal supporters who were commenting on this yesterday, but even so, it has not changed people's view of how to vote in the election so far.
What about this business, Erin, of it going to the core of his brand? Because basically she's saying he's claiming to be a great businessman, but he's running this company into the ground or has run it into the ground.
Well, I think this is an example of where it's not, the timing, in fact, isn't working for Renata Ford, because I don't know that people have had the time to read through or have taken the time to read through the details of the lawsuit. You know, when it's 2 days before an election, people are kind of getting the sound bites. Usually, usually what they'd want to see is that if you really wanted to make a scandal out of this, you give people about a week, you give the journalists time to go through it and see the veracity of it. There just hasn't been time to do that. And what we've seen in other elections is when an issue is complicated, it takes more time for people's minds to change. And I think in 2 days, people aren't going to get into, well, what were the values of the shares of his company and, what was he paying himself? And those details weren't there. So I don't think people have had time to absorb that.
Would you agree with that, Jerry and Ryan? And also, there have been some newer details. Rob Ford's family home is up for sale. It looks like for sale by owner. The widow and the children have already moved out. And the records show that the house has been very heavily mortgaged since his death. Would you agree that it's just that people haven't really digested that, or what?
Well, I think it has to do with branding. I don't really think Doug Ford has branded himself as a great businessman. He's not like Trump in that regard. I don't think he said, "Hey, I'm a really successful businessman," and I don't think he's sold himself as some kind of paragon of virtue either. I think he's basically said, "I'm not Kathleen Wynne, and if you want change, vote for me because I'm going to be the opposite of Kathleen Wynne." And I think that's been his branding. That's been his message. And this scandal, as bad as it might be, and as bad as people might think negatively about that, it hasn't changed that sort of pitch that Ford is making. He still can say, "Look, I'm gonna listen to you. I hear your anger. We've heard the clip. I'm gonna lower gas prices, whatever." That's still his message, and it could still work for him and propel him to victory.
Yeah, I'd largely agree with that. I mean, as Erin said, it does take a while for these narratives to set as well. It doesn't just happen overnight, and I think that it might have just been a little too late for to have much momentum among voters.
What about?
I was going to say, you have to also understand he's branded himself as anti-elite, not just that he's for the people. So I think in a way this makes him look like he's like everybody else. He's got family issues. He's got. He's not above that fray.
I was going to ask, what about the other side of that? And that's Andrea Horvath and Kathleen Wynne, though she seems to be kind of out of it, that I've heard negative comments saying that they have stooped low by making comments about this. Did anyone see any evidence of that?
Well, we certainly saw, Polly showed that Andrea Horvath's numbers are down today over yesterday. Yesterday, in the popular vote, she was ahead of the PCs. Now she's behind the PCs by 2 points. It hasn't made a big difference in, well, it has made some difference in seat counts by about 2 seats, but she has gone down, and possibly that's the reason.
I think this feels very human to people, right? Like, they can understand and relate to the fact that there are family troubles in nearly every family, and to see it dragged out by a leader to use for their political advantage, I think, was not necessarily the smartest move.
Uh-huh. And it was interesting to me that I didn't see any criticism of Kathleen Wynne. And I think that's just because people have tuned her out, though she made a very long announcement today that was quite bizarre with somebody standing next to her, looking at her lovingly and not saying a word. Is she totally out of the picture, guys?
I think she's put herself out of the picture. you know, in a really strange and bizarre strategy, she's basically said, I'm not going to win. And so by her own sort of actions, she's made this into a two-party race. She's made this into a race between the NDP and the PCs. And so, yeah, in that kind of situation, you know, why even talk about her? She's no longer relevant to the discussion.
And not only has she taken herself out, but she hasn't said that she will step down after Thursday. So I heard her on an interview yesterday. They were asking her, will you step down? And they asked her why she won't commit to that. And she said, well, because if I form a minority, if there's a minority government, they're going to need a strong voice. And I was like, okay, so you're not necessarily out? Is this, nobody really knows what Kathleen Wynne is doing right now.
Maybe Kathleen Wynne doesn't know.
It's an odd approach because she said that she was going to take herself out of the story and then spent the next 3 days on a media tour going getting her face on as many television screens as possible. So I'm not quite sure what the strategy is with that.
Uh-huh. And what's Pauly's seat count and where did the Liberals stand?
The Liberals are at one seat, the NDP at 47, and the PCs at 76.
Wow.
A clear PC majority government.
One seat. And do you know which seat that is?
Right now it's Toronto Centre. So it's not Kathleen Wynne's seat.
Toronto Centre. That's not University Rosedale. Does anybody offhand know who that is there?
That's David Morris. He's a first-time candidate.
Oh, wow. David Morris, be careful what you wish
leader.
For. Sorry?
Leader, yeah.
Sorry, I just talked over somebody.
I was just making a joke that he was instantly going to be the new Liberal leader on June 8th.
The Liberal leader in the House.
Right.
David Morris, wow. I was, for a while, I thought that maybe the first-time candidate, the first-time Liberal candidate in my riding might get in. Though another pollster I was talking to said, you know, don't be fooled by all the lawn signs. That's in St. Paul's.
And St. Paul's was close. St. Paul's is less than 1% away from going Liberal. So we've been toggling St. Paul's in and out. Right now it's PC by, like I said, by a percentage. But it could toggle.
It could toggle. What are some of the other seats that are in play and critical to the race?
Well, for Andrea Horvath, we've identified three that we feel she needs to win if she's going to be successful. Sault Ste. Marie, Cambridge, and Huron-Bruce. They're all PC ridings right now, but Pauly feels that the undecideds are high enough and, you know, with a little bit of fairy dust, they might go NDP, and so that's what we'll be looking for tomorrow night to see if those three ridings show early signs of going NDP. But right now they're PC.
And when you say successful, you mean winning or winning?
Winning.
40? Winning. And there's been a lot of talk about an NDP sweep in Toronto. Erin was just telling us she thinks there's at least one seat there that may go PC. Jerry Nichol, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that would be just an indication of Liberal collapse if there's an NDP sweep in Toronto. I think for the Conservatives, what they got to be looking at is the 905 bill. They've got to look at sweeping there for them to be successful. So we'll see. I mean, to me, the real story of this election, it looks like, and listening to Pauly, it looks like the Liberal Party is on a real death march now. And to me, that's fascinating. Because what will that mean for, you know, heading forward in this province's political future?
Well, I hate to toot my own horn, but it's been quite a few weeks, actually, probably 3 weeks since I thought this is starting to look like 1993 for the Conservatives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was predicting single digits. We'll see. Ryan, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just very challenging for the Liberals to do anything moving forward. I mean, going into the election, Wynne's approval ratings were so low that I just didn't see a way for them to get out of it, and they've really just sunk further. In terms of Toronto and the Conservatives, I think that there are a number of seats that the Conservatives are quite competitive in. I know they expect to win the Scarborough seats and the Don Valley, so I expect the Conservatives will be quite competitive in the city tomorrow.
Yeah,
we're actually seeing the PCs do quite well in Toronto and in 905. The NDP is strong in the north, and so but we're we're definitely seeing strong showing for the PCs.
How many seats do you have in Toronto? And dyed-in-the-wool Toronto people, I don't know if Scarborough counts, but because we figure Scarborough and Etobicoke would go PC, but what else do you have there, Polly?
Well, in Mississauga, except for Malton, Brampton is NDP, that's pretty clear, but Scarborough, let me look, I don't have them all memorized, of course, but I don't have, I'll hold it here in a sec, sorry. Yeah, it's hard to look them up all on the fly, but Scarborough is it's looking strong for the PCs.
And I mean, for instance, like Kathleen Wynne's seat is quite far downtown, and I think that her seat is currently looked at as a potential flip by the Conservatives, as well as Don Valley East with Dentleman and Wong, who's a councillor, etc.
Okay,
yeah, Scarborough Rouge Park, Scarborough North, they're both PC. Don Valley North is PC. And Kathleen Wynne's riding is PC. Of course, Etobicoke is going PC. So,
okay, but downtown, not much.
Well, St. Paul's right now is PC, but like I said, it's only by a percentage point. Toronto Centre is Liberal, but that could change. It's been going back and forth as well. York Centre's not downtown, but it's PC. I think the PCs are, you know, in order to get that majority government, they've got a little bit everywhere. So,
wow. And if you say that Toronto Centre riding is going back and forth, that you've just raised a possibility that I don't think anyone has considered no seats.
We've got it as well. We think she's going to win Toronto Centre right now, but it has been going back and forth throughout the campaign, but right now she's got a good lead. So that she's 33, the Liberals are 33% and the NDP is 29% and the PC 28%. So we think that they will win Toronto Centre.
Wow. Everybody, please hang on. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got Margaret in Thornhill. Hello, Margaret.
Oh, hi, Libby. Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine.
Pleased to be able to talk to you, and I hope the election goes best for Ontario. The reason why I'm calling is the allegations that are brought up against Ford with his family. That's his private business. It should never have been brought up just so close to the election. Whatever he does in the past, present, or future, that has to deal with the family. Not only that, I'm a little bit scared with this election. I mean, I've been living in...
Everyone is.
...in Ontario since the 50s. I have seen many elections. I've also campaigned and been in the polling station. It's pretty hard to decide as to who should come in best for Ontario. I know they're pretty close, the PC and the NDP candidates, but I get scared about Ford because Mike Harris did destroy Ontario at his time of being premier, with hospitals closing down and so forth and so forth, and jobs being lost, people losing their homes, and the economy was really dreadful. I hope this doesn't come up again. I hope we don't see this again. I want to see a lot done for hospitals. That's our main issue. More doctors, more nurses, open hospital doors, put people in, more wards, and give good health care to the seniors and the people of Ontario that deserve it. This is a very, very important issue, and we have to look at it very, very closely.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you for taking my call, and good luck, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, it is time for a quick break. When we come back, we will have more of your calls and more from Jerry Nichols, Ryan Guptill, and Aaron Kelly and Polly. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. We are going to get to your calls in a moment. We're here with Erin Kelly, the mother of Polly. Sorry about that. Ryan Guptill with Navigator and Jerry Nichols, a political consultant. And, you know, our last caller really underlined something that I found very interesting for me. She's talking about, Margaret was talking about health care and the importance of health care. And I think that there are a lot of people who believe that's the main issue, but the issues really got lost this time in the horse race and in the desire to get rid of the win liberals. Jerry, what do you think?
Well, you know, Libby, if I wanted to convince, you know, the Russians or the Chinese or the Iranians to embrace our democratic system, I would not showcase this Ontario election. In fact, I would do everything I could to hide it, because it has not been a very inspiring race. It's basically been what I would call a rejectionist kind of campaign. In other words, people just don't like Wynn, and they don't like the Liberals, and they just want anything else. They just want an alternative. So the ballot choice is basically not about issues, not about health care. The issue has been, who do you find least objectionable? And that's what I think what people are going to be deciding tomorrow. And that's not exactly inspirational when you think about their democratic system.
Well, yeah. And Ryan, there's this whole issue, you know, as certainly when you read commentary or talk to people, I mean, basically, voters don't believe anyone.
Yeah, I mean, they feel so strongly about all of the leaders that it really has made the issues go to the back of the bus. The issues have, the politicians have made all kinds of announcements about policy. There's been announcements about apartments and about healthcare, but there's just been no focus on it from the voters. The voters have been really driven towards just the personalities of the leaders. And I think that's something we've actually seen in a number of elections across jurisdictions. So
actually,
I'm not sure that we think it's going to change too much in the future.
We actually saw, certainly, we saw quite a few voters actually discussing the issues. I think it was actually the leaders who turned it into a mudslinging at the last debate with, you know, you've got radical candidates, well, you don't have a platform. When we were actually watching on social media, while I agree that it has come down to, you know, it's a reaction against Wynn and it's for change, I agree that's definitely part of it. But we have seen actually two main issues come up that people have talked about. NDP supporters, for NDP supporters, it is about health care and dental care specifically. People really reacted well to Andrew Horvath's plan on dental care. And for Doug Ford supporters, it was really about the economy, jobs, and getting hydro rates under control, taxes under control. So definitely we saw that the electorate were discussing issues, and they wanted the candidates to discuss issues. Like, even though, like I said, when the scandals came up, it didn't change people's vote, because people are actually focused on issues, like Margaret. They're focused on healthcare and things like that, and they would actually like to see the politicians doing less of the mudslinging and more of the, what are you going to do for me and how are you going to pay for it?
But the thing is, like, political parties are always looking to move votes. And if they felt that it was going to pay off for them to discuss the issues, they would be discussing the issues. And they've tried. They've made some attempts at it. But at the end of the day, it's come down to the things that are moving votes are their personal, our voters' personal feelings. That's what the parties are finding in their own estimation.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I've said we have actually found when there were scandals, whether it was Kinga Surma or any of these, it did not change people's votes. Even with the Liberals, I mean, they were low already, and so I guess there was no lower to go. But it's basically been when we see scandals, people talk about it. Even like with Andrea Horvath's $1.4 billion mistake, people talked about it, but then they moved on. It was, okay, she made a mistake, and let's get back down to the issues. We really saw that the electorate was really open to having something about issues. Yes, it is about moving votes, but we didn't find that those scandals moved the votes. We found that certainly in the beginning, when Andrea Horvath was out and talking and meeting people and talking about her plan, people reacted well to that. That's what caused her momentum. And when she started the mudslinging, when she started to get into that, she started to plateau.
My take on it was that as soon as she moved into the lead, which was, what, about 10 days ago, people started to take a much harder look. And my take was that people started looking at things like who's in her cabinet. And I think that I wouldn't call it a scandal, but the little eruptions over some very radical candidates probably played into that. Jerry and Ryan, did you see that happening? Did she kind of peak too early?
Well, that's sort of was my take, is that the danger. A couple of weeks ago, we were seeing all these headlines where, you know, NDP is soaring ahead and they're ahead by 10 points, which is great. You always want to get momentum in your campaign. But I think the problem for the NDP was maybe they just peaked too early. And the problem with that is, I think, mainly is the brand, is the NDP brand. You know, this is a socialist party. And Ontarians tend to be a little bit risk-averse. And so the idea of putting, you know, socialists in charge, you know, what would that mean for our economy? What would that mean for our markets and all that kind of stuff? I think that gave people, you know, sober second thought about voting for the NDP. And even though Ford, you know, is far from perfect, at least not a communist.
Well, how damaging was Andrea Horvath's statement that she would not ever use back-to-work legislation?
Well, I think that played well with her base, and I think that's what she was aiming it at. It might have been one of those things which, again, socialist. Is she putting the unions, the benefit of the unions, ahead of the benefit of Ontario's economy? Yeah, that could have been something which got people to think, hey, you know what? Do we really want to give the keys of the economy, you know, to Horvath and her NDP legions?
It really reaffirms a lot of the things that people have a preconceived notion of how the New Democrats behave in government, right? And it sort of reinforces and makes people take a second look at whether this is something they really want to do. And as I was saying earlier, like, Andrea Horvath and the NDP probably peaked about 10 days too early, because if you've seen in other jurisdictions like Alberta, for instance, their peak comes right before the election, before people have time to really focus in on the details of what can go wrong.
Ah.
And Horvath peaked just a bit too early, and people started taking a real hard look at some of these policies.
In which case, Doug Ford peaked really too early. But he's been his personal popularity has been losing since then, but I guess he's still in good shape, right?
Well, I think part of the problem for Ford was that they peaked so early, that they were ahead of the race when it started, because that meant he really had no place to go but down, and it meant the NDP really had no place to go but up. So that created that couple of weeks there, that created this narrative that Ford was losing, that he was losing momentum, and that the NDP was gaining ground. And this is the kind of thing you don't really want to see happen in your campaign. People want to be in a moving train. And for a while there, it looked like the NDP was the moving train. I agree with Ryan. Your timing was just a little bit off. If they were peaking right now, they'd be in a much better situation.
Okay, let's hear from Bob in Etobicoke. Hello, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Not bad. I've been paying close attention to all of the rhetoric from the various campaigns, and I agree that we need more hospitals and doctors and nurses, and we need, well, they talk about education. Well, that's fine, except how do you pay for it? The amount of debt that Ontario has right now, if the interest rates were to go up by 1%, we would have to close a lot of that stuff. So what I'm voting for it. I know he's got some problems. I don't, you know, but that's, I need a change. So jobs is important. If he can get the hydro rates down, that's going to help. It's going to help business. Now, the NDP is talking about cutting corporate tax or raising corporate tax. Corporate tax, if you take the money out of the corporations in tax, that's less dividends. And dividends go mainly to pension funds. Then they talked about them, well, the last time the Conservatives in, they sold Highway 407. I did some checking in it, and it was the best thing that they could have ever done, because Highway 407 is now worth $45 billion. But who owns it?
Well, a Spanish
Canada
company.
Pension Plan owns 40%. SNC-Lavalin owns 16.5%. A German consortium owns about 42%. But that consortium, they have to pay tax on the profit they make. So the money that the provincial government of Ontario is getting out of that is a tremendous amount of money, a lot more than the $3 billion they sold it for.
A lot of people would certainly disagree with you on that one, on the 407. But, Bob, I hear you. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Simone in Parkdale. Hello, Simone.
Hi there. There's no way I would vote for Horvath. I mean, she's got all these people she supports, makes excuses for, Nazi sympathizers, communist sympathizers, police haters, one who made a racial slur against the chief because she feels she can do it because she's black and gay, and then her current loss of approval of unions, her support of unions. You've got students who are losing part of their education, and she would not do anything about that. And it would also discourage investment in the province if you're going to have unions taking advantage of it and going on prolonged strikes, you know. And then she says she cares about the seniors. In today's findings about the Nurse Wettlaufer, they said that unions were partly responsible for keeping her in power.
Well, that's going to be our next topic on the show. Simone,
I think that's
stay
important.
Tuned.
I mean, this is unions should not be allowed to protect people who are a danger to people.
I think you'd get no argument on that, and I think we can figure out how you're voting tomorrow.
That's right, and Horvath would do nothing about that, so that's why I would vote for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bana.
Jerry in Burlington. Hi, Jerry.
Well, hello. Well, I tell you something. I'm really glad this campaign is almost over with all the mudslinging, some legitimate, others not. Now, isn't it interesting that Renata Ford came up with these accusations now, a couple of days before the election, when the accused, Doug, has no opportunity to defend himself? I think that's very conspicuous and very unfair.
Yeah, well, she chose to file the lawsuit at a time when she would have the most leverage, I guess.
Of course. You know, so now God knows what. Now, one last thing I would like to tell the voters who are listening, that Andrea Horvath does not have the money to pay for all the freebies that she is promising. And if they think that they will be better off with Andrea than with Wynne, then they would be very unpleasantly surprised. So please, people, think twice before voting, and good luck to all of us.
Okay, thanks, Jerry,
thanks.
For that.
Bye.
Bye. And frankly, none of them seem to really have the money for the things they promised. I'm going to take one more call, and then we get back to our panel to wrap things up. We've got Roxanne in Guelph. Hello, Roxanne.
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my call. It's the second time I called related to the subject in discussion right now. As I said 2 weeks ago, none of these candidates deserve their place. The reason is, Ford is in this game just for his own gain, business related. From all three, I see Andrea Horvath the worst, the most dangerous. This is a woman who is not in this thing to do something for people. She's in this thing for her own gain and to use this level as a platform for, you know, higher position than this one right now. And the third lady, Catherine, is playing a silly game, a childish game. It's like, you know, vote for Ford, don't vote for Andrea Horvath. It's like, you know, like a kid with tantrums. She doesn't really know what she wants unless she plays the game to redirect the votes to wherever she thinks she has a little bit of game.
Okay, Roxanne. Now, Roxanne, thank you very much for that. Appreciate your call. We have to wrap things up. On that note, Roxanne was saying none of the above. So what's a turnout going to be like before we go? Erin, do you have any sense of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We use two measurements to try and gauge what the turnout will be. One is how engaged people are in the election. And like I said, people are very, very engaged. There's lots of discussion, which is always a good sign. However, we see that a lot of, in particular, some ridings, like Sault Ste. Marie, which we think is a swing riding, has undecideds upwards of 24%. So when there's high undecided, you sometimes worry that people will say, well, I'm not passionate about any of these people, so I'll just stay home. Or if something comes up, they don't go to the polls. So, you know, on the one hand, an indicator that there will be a good turnout. There's always a lower turnout for provincial than for federal. You usually expect about 50%. But with the high undecided, I think that's a bit worrisome.
Okay. And Jerry, what would you like to leave us with? And do you have a sense of the turnout?
My sense is the turnout is going to be low. I think there probably will be a lot of disillusioned liberals, especially, who won't, you know, work up the energy to go to vote for what would be a losing cause. So I think that's going to hurt them. Other than that, you know what? I hate to say it, but I'll agree with the machine about a PC majority government. I don't like to agree with the machine because I don't like the idea of a robot, you know, maybe one day doing my job. I think we're heading in that direction.
Let's not slag Polly. Okay, Ryan, what would you like to leave us with?
Yeah, one thing that I'd be watching for is a shy conservative vote, which often the conservative parties overperform their polls. And I expect with Ford, who has been quite a lightning rod for criticism, that there are a lot of shy voters out there who are not going to be posting on their social media or telling pollsters that they're going to go out and vote for somebody who's been such a criticized figure for so long. I think that it may be the direction it's going in.
Okay, all very interesting. Thank you so much, Aaron Kelly, Jerry Nichols, and Ryan Guptill. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you.